Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Elahai Stama Ashpach. In the previous shiur, our Gemara discussed the issue who is the Tan of our Mishnah. Because as the Gemara taught us, it's difficult to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, and it's difficult to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. It's difficult to say the Tanav HaMishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that a shvuah, to be chayiv carbon oil of a yoyred, for making a false shvuah, is only for shvuah lahaba, as the Torah says, lahara or lahaitiv. And Rabbi Shmuel, and the Mishnah seems to say that you would be chayiv carbon oil of a yoyred, even for a shvuah in the past, where somebody said he did eat when he didn't eat, or vice versa. On the other hand, it's difficult to say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you're only chayav a carbon oil of a yoyrid when somebody entered the base of Migdash, or ate Kodesh when he didn't realize that he was Tamei. But if somebody knew he was Tamei, but didn't realize that what he was eating was Kodesh, didn't realize where he was entering was the base of Migdash, then he would not be chayav a carbon oil of a yoyrid. And our Mishnah seems to say that you'll be chayav a carbon oil of a yoyrid in those cases also. So the Gemara has a difficulty. Who's the Tan of our Mishnah? So the Gemara, and that's the Pshat that we're in the middle of learning with, suggests that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. And when the Mishnah says that you chayav in the case of Shvuah, the Mishnah isn't focusing on the rule of carbon oil of a yoyrid. Rather, the Mishnah is focused on the rule of the chiyuv malchus. And your Mishnah is teaching us that in all four circumstances, whether it's a shvuah lahaba, I'm going to eat or I'm not going to eat, or it's a shvuah l'sha'avar, I ate or I didn't eat, Rav Shmuel is going to teach us that in all four of those cases, if somebody made a deliberate false shvuah, he's going to be chayiv malchus. But as the Gemara pointed out, that requires Rabbi Shmuel to hold that you get malchus for lav she'en by ma'isa. Because if somebody makes a shvuah that he will eat, and then he turns out not eating, that's a lav she'en by ma'isa, he just didn't eat. So the Gemara said, so fine, and the Gemara proved that Rabbi Shmuel will be of the opinion that lav she'en by ma'isa, you get malchus. The problem with that pshat is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is, on one hand, and we learned this at the end of Masechta Makos, is of the opinion that for lav she'en by ma'isa, you don't get malchus. But Rabbi Yochanan is also of the opinion that halachic is stam mishnah. And now we're saying that our stam mishnah holds that lav she'en by ma'isa, you get malchus for. So how will we understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? So the Gemara said, because there's another stam mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan will be following, that says you get malchus, that you don't get malchus for lav she'en by ma'isa, and therefore he's not following our Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah Da Beis HaShvuos, it'll be the Stam Mishnah that the Gemara attempted to say, Mishnah that we also learned in the Masechta Makos, a Mishnah that appears in Masechta Pesachim, that Mishnah proves the lav she'en by ma'isa ain't loiken, and that's the Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan is following. But as we learned, as we completed yesterday's shiur, that it could well be that the reason those Mishnais, where somebody leaves over from the Karman Pesach, there's no Malchus, has nothing to do with Lav Shem Maisa. It's because it's a Lav HaNitik Laseh. So what we're up to now is trying to identify, what the Gemara is up to now, is trying to identify another Mishnah that teaches us the Lav Shem Maisa, you don't get Malchus, and say therefore that that's the Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is following. So the Gemara says, Elahai Stam Ashkach. What is the Stam Mishnah? Mishnah we're actually going to learn later in our Masechta Daf Chav Zayin. The Mishnah says, if somebody makes a shvuah, Shloi Oichel Kikazeh, he makes a shvuah that I won't eat this loaf of bread, and then he makes another shvuah, Shloi Achlena, that I won't even eat a kazayis of this kikar, V'ochla, and a chai v'lachas. And as the Rishonim explained, it's specifically because it's this order, because the first shvuah already prohibits him from eating any part of this loaf. So the second shvuah is just reinforcing the original shvuah. And as we discussed and will discuss, a shvuah that is only here to be makayim a mitzvah, to to become something I'm already obligated to do is not a valid shvuah. Interestingly, two points to be made. One question is, why is this considered a shvuah as the Rishonim that I'm certainly violating if I eat from the bread? We spoke about it just as recently as yesterday, that asra safek leshma asra. When you give me warning not to do an aveira, and it's not for sure that I'm going to do it, it's not a valid asra. So here, when somebody makes a shvuah that he won't eat this loaf of bread, and he doesn't eat it, why is he chayiv? He could always be shoyel on the shvuah. He could always have the shvuah annulled, and therefore it should always remain a hasra safek. So Rishonim give two reasons why it's not. One answer is, annulling a shvuah is highly uncommon, and therefore doesn't make it into the category of asra safek. Another teretz is, you can't annul your own shvuah. You have to go to a chacham. That means you have to find a chacham. You have to find a chacham that will agree to your reason for annulment. That doesn't make it into asra safek. Furthermore, this Rashi that speaks about what I just said, that a shvuah that's here, the second shvuah that's here only to strengthen the first shvuah, is not considered a full-fledged shvuah, Rashi actually indicates, right, there's a question that the Rishonim and Achronim debate in understanding this halacha. If I'm not allowed to do something, or I'm obligated to do something, it's all the same. And then I make a shvuah, that we say that the shvuah is not effective. What does that mean? Does it mean that the shvuah is not an effective shvuah? Or does it mean the shvuah is a shvuah? The chiyuv carbon that normally one gets for violating a shvuah, carbon oil of yarid, doesn't apply here. So if we look at the last words of the top Rashi in Daf Dalam and Aleph, Rashi says, part of the shvuah is carbon. Rashi doesn't say it's not a shvuah. Rashi says it's a shvuah. Just the chiyuv carbon isn't here. An important point to pay attention to. So going back to the Gemara, the Mishnah there says, Zui shvuah spitu shechayoven as a doina makas. This is the kind of shvuah for which if you're violated b'mezid yechayiv malkas, and if you're violated b'shag yechayiv carbon oil of a yorid. So the Gemara says, what is the deek of the Mishnah? Zuhi, this is the type of shvuah, the chayoven al zadoina makas, that you'll be chayiv for violating a makas. Aval oichel v'loyochel, in a situation where somebody makes a shvuah that he will eat something, and then he ends up not eating, loyochel, then he won't get malkas. Why? Because it's lav shem b'maisa. So what the Gemara is saying is that this is the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, that teaches us that for lav shem b'maisa, you don't get malkas. Ask the Gemara, Michti. Let's try to understand this, ask the Gemara. Fine. The way we're learning our Mishnah on that base, indicates that lav shem b'maisa, you do get malkas. This Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin teaches us that you don't get malkas. Ask the Gemara, high stammer, high stammer. We have two stam mishnayis. So my chazad avika hai stammer, why is Rabbi Yochanan following the Stam Mishnah Daf Chav Zayin that teaches us for lav shem b'maisa there is no malkus? Levid, why doesn't he follow the Stam Mishnah of Daf Beis that says that you do get malkus? So Mefarshim say, and what's the havamin of the Gemara? What's the maskana of the Gemara? So Mefarshim explained that the Gemara, the one that thought that we should follow this, says that since we don't know what to do, do you get malkus or don't you get malkus? So that's why we don't give malkus. But not a Gemara saying that isn't a good enough reason not to do something. We need to have a real reason why not to do it. Because as the Mefarshim explained, when we say, and we discussed this as recently as the previous year, that when we don't know if malkus should be given or not, we just don't give malkus, that's specifically in a situation where it's a question in the Metzius. Did this person do the Aveiro or not? But when it's a question in Halacha, that's not an indication. Ask the Gemara, let's think about, we have another question. Ultameich, and here Ultameich is a different type of question. It's just a general question. We need to understand what Rebbe is doing here. Rebbe Gufi. Rebbe is the author of the Mishnayos. So let's understand Rebbe. Hechla sasulon hocha hochi, for hocha hochi. The Mishnah on that base, Rebbe is giving us a Stam Mishnah. The Lav Shem Emaisi get Malkus. The Mishnah Taf Chav Zayin, the Mishnah is teaching us the Lav Shem Emaisi, you don't get Malkus. So what's Rebbe doing? Says the Gemara, the answer to both questions, there's one answer. Mikarasov originally, Rebbe was of the opinion, the Lav Shem B'maisa Lo Kanov. That, you do get Malkus for Lav Shem B'maisa. For Sosma, and he wrote a Stam Mishnah to that effect. For Hadasov, And then he reconsidered and decided, ain't like the Alav Shev Maaseh, you don't get Malkus, the Sosma. And that's what the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin teaches us. And therefore point out to Mepharshim, specifically only in the case that we're learning here, where we have these two Mishnayis, both in Masechta Shavuos, one in Daf Beis and one in Daf Chav Zayin, that's where we say that we have two Stam Mishnayis with opposing opinions. We follow the second one, because it shows that Rebbe reconsidered. But now we have a question. If Rebbe reconsidered, why didn't he amend the first Mishnah? Well, Mishnah loizazim akaymei. The Mishnah remained as it was. Now the question is why? Why didn't he indeed amend it? So I saw three pshatim, three beautiful pshatim. One pshat that Rishash suggests is that when Rebbe reconsidered, it was already towards the end of his life, and he didn't have the opportunity anymore to amend the first Mishnah before he passed away. One pshat. Another pshat is, as we know, originally all of the Mishnayos were Torah Shebal Peh. You know, it's hard enough to memorize one Mishnah. They had to memorize Shisha Sidri Mishnah. So once you memorize a Mishnah, if you're going to tell the person you have to relearn it, amend it, it's very hard. So even though Rebbe was changing his opinion, and even though the Mishnah on that base seems to indicate, at least at this point of the Gemara, the Lav Shemer Maisa, you get Malkus, Rebbe didn't want to touch it because it was hard enough to memorize, and making any changes would just disrupt anybody's memory. But then I saw a third pshat from the Yisroch Moshe, a beautiful pshat. We know there's a very fundamental difference about learning Torah than learning anything else, doing anything else. In all other pursuits in life, you're not measured by your effort, you're measured by your results. You know, if you have a business and you don't make money, so you could be the hardest working person, you're not a successful business person. And Torah has nothing to do specifically with the results. We could learn a few blad of Gemara back and forth. Actually, our Gemara now is a great example. We're learning Pshat and Mishnah one way, and then after a couple of blad, we're going to come up with a different Pshat. Why? Because by Torah, the Iker is the Amelis at Torah. The main point is that we're learning Torah. The results that we learned right Pshat, that we learned wrong Pshat, as long as we try to learn as best as we can, that's what's important. And that was the lesson that Rebbe wanted to leave with us. The first Mishnah is wrong Pshat. So you would think that you should amend it. Says Rebbe, if I amend it, that means that people will think that only if you have the right words is that to follow. But that's not true. And that's why Rebbe, to teach us this lesson, didn't modify the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, B'mayu Kimta. So how are we explaining our Mishnah at this point? We're saying that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We had the problem, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no carbon oil of a yoyrid for Shavuos in the past. We're not talking about carbon oil of a yoyrid, we're saying. We're speaking about Malkus. And the Mishnah's four cases of Shavuos are all cases where somebody deliberately set a false Shavuos and he gets Malkus. Ask the Gemara if we're explaining the Mishnah regarding Malkus. So as we know, there are four subjects that the Mishnah discusses. Shavuos, Yediyas HaTumah, Yetzias HaShabbos, and Maris Nagon. So says the Gemara, B'mayu Kimta, so Rabbi Shmuel or Malkus. So ask the Gemara, Maris Nagon, we're going to have to define as a situation of Malkus. Why my Malkus Ikka? Where is the case of Malkus by Nagoyim that we would say that's the Mishnah is referring to? Answers the Gemara, B'kotz Baharta. It's referring to a situation where somebody cuts off his nega. Ukud Ravavan Amr Beloy, Damar Ravavan Amr Beloy, Kom Mokim Shinami Shama Pen V'al. Wherever the Torah uses one of those words, Eina El Eloisa say. The Torah says, Shama Benega Tzeras. So the Mishnah teaching us, the Torah is teaching us, you may not cut off the Nega Tzeras. The Mishnah is teaching us, you have four types of Negam, and all four of those cases, the Aloch is that you're not allowed, that if you cut them off deliberately, you'll be Chayiv Malkus. A number of points to be made. Tosfos asks, why didn't the Gemara say the case of Maris Negam is a case where somebody who's a Mitzayra entered the Beis HaMikdash? And if you entered the Beis HaMikdash deliberately, you're Chayiv. So Tosfos answers that's the same as Yediyas HaTumah. Maris Negam has to have something different than Yediyas HaTumah. So that can't be the case. Another question Tosfos asks is why do we say that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where a Mitzayra, we know a Mitzayra has to be taken out of all three Gimel Machnas, not just Machnas Shechina, that he entered the Machnas Leviyah. If he did it deliberately, he's over a lav. So Tosfos answers that lav of a Mitzayra entering the Machnas Leviyah when he is a Mitzayra is a lav and Nitik Laseh. Because he could just walk out. And therefore, we're talking about you getting Malkus. There's no Malkus. Another interesting point that many Achronim discuss is the Gemara is now examining if our Mishnah could follow this pshat, that our Mishnah is speaking about a case b'mezid. But if we look at the order of our Mishnah, after the case of Shavuos comes the case of Yedias HaTumah, then the case of Shabbos, and then the case of Maris Nagon. So if the Gemara is examining, shouldn't the Gemara have first examined if it stands up to Yedias HaTumah? Not if it, and then seen if it stands up to Shabbos, and then seen if it stands up to Maris Nagon. Why is the Gemara asking a question in reverse order? Says the Sefer Teres Chaim, a very important answer. The Gemara knew that the answer to this question, there is an answer to the question, the answer that we just gave. When the Gemara asks question, it goes from the easier question to the harder question. So Maris Nagon was the easiest question to answer, so Gemara got it away. Then we go to Shabbos, also find a way to answer it. Then we go to the hardest question, which actually doesn't have an answer, Yedias HaTumah. Others say that it was obvious to the Gemara that by Tumah there's a case of Malkus. It wasn't so obvious where the case is by Maris Nagon, and that's why the Gemara asked the question. Just the opposite type of a teretz. But here we find a very interesting machloikus rishonim. Tosfos says that the lav that the Gemara just said by Nagon, that you may not cut off a nega, is only by Nagon Tameim. If somebody has a nega, he's not allowed to cut it off. He's not allowed to do anything to diminish it. Rashi, Tosfos discusses the subject, Rashi is of the opinion that it's even by Nagoyim Tahoyrim. Even if somebody has a discoloration, it's tar, you're not allowed to cut it off. And as the Achroidim explain, what is the basis of the Machloikas of Rashi and Tosfos? Tosfos is of the opinion, there is no specific issa to cut off the nega. There's an issa to, if you have a nega, you have to deal with it. Just, and you can't just try to make it go away by cutting it away. But if it's not a nega, there's no problem. Rashi is of the opinion that the Torah gives a separate isser that one may not cut off a nega. And I saw that the Marsham says that this question is relevant b'zman hazeh. We know that there's no nega in b'zman hazeh. We don't have kahanim, we don't have nega, we don't have the whole parasha mitzayra. And therefore, according to Tosfos' opinion, if somebody would have such a discoloration on the skin, there's no problem to cut it off nowadays. You can have plastic surgery, you can do whatever you have to do. According to Rashi, it has nothing to do, as we just explained, with the concept of Mitzayra. The Torah tells us that if you have a nega, you're not allowed to cut it off no matter what. And therefore, perhaps, says the Masham, according to Rashi, would not be allowed to cut it off nowadays either. Continues the Gemara. The previous case was Yetzias Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, if we're defining that our Mishnah is speaking about Malkus, ask the Gemara, my Malkus Isser, my Malkus Ikka, what type of Malkus is here? Isn't this a lav, Shenitin Lasaris Misa Bezdenhu? And we need to review a subject that we've discussed previously. Ein Anshim El Mekemas Hirim. Every lav in the Torah has a lav, has the Isser, and has the Einish. The man, the armor that holds, we learned this at the end of Masech the Malkus, the lav, Shenitin Lasaris Misa Bezdin, Ein Loikin Alav, says that when the Torah says something is Usser, it's not just the Isser and the Einish travel together. And therefore, if the Torah says that you're not allowed to, if you're Mechal Shabbos, we know you're Chayiv Misa. So even if someone was warned incorrectly that if you're going to do this Aveira, you're going to get Malkus, he won't get Malkus. Because the Einish and the Ashara that the Torah speaks about by Shabbos is strictly Misa, not Malkus. So ask the Gemara, so if the Torah says that the punishment for being Mechal Shabbos, the punishment for being Mechal Shabbos is Misa, it's not Malkus. So if we're defining, at this point, we're trying to say that our Mishnah is speaking about cases that Yechayiv Malkus, Shabbos does no Chiv Malkus, Shabbos does a Chiv Misa. Again, ask the Gemara, Yetzias Shabbos, my Malkus Ikka, isn't Shabbos the Alav Shenit L'Asaras Misa's Bezdenu? The Kalav Shenit L'Asaras Misa's Bezden, even as I said, you give warning that if you'll be over, you'll get Malkus, an incorrect Hasra. Still, ain't like enough. Answers the Gemara. Mishum Hach Kamakimnik Rishmal. Says the Gemara, that's exactly why we're trying to explain our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rishmal. He is of the opinion. The Lav Shenit L'Asaras Misa's Bezden. That even though the Torah said that Einish is Misa, If you give hasra for malchus, loiken alav. Halav achi, because if not for that, halav achi, kaimelon Rebbe Kiva, we would explain that the Mishnah is following Rebbe Kiva. Ask the Mefarshim, why is the Gemara so anxious to follow Rebbe Kiva? So the Mefarshim explained, since we know that throughout Shas, Stam Mishnah is Rebbe Kiva, and we spoke about it at the end of Masechta Makkos, that all the Stams, the Stam Sefra and the Stam Sefri, were all Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva. So we always want to see a follow Rebbe Kiva. So says the Gemara, if we had our choice, we would say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. It's because of this question that right now we're saying that the Mishnah is speaking about Malchus. And according to Rebbe Kiva, there is no opportunity to explain Shias HaShabbos for Malchus, according to the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, who holds the Lav Shnit and Lasharis Mises Bezdin, you don't get Malchus. That's what forced us not to follow the normal track of explaining like Rebbe Kiva, but following Rebbe Shmuel. Ask the Gemara, if we didn't have this problem, Kaimik Rebbe Kiva, would we be able to explain our Mishnah like Rebbe Kiva? But didn't we say in yesterday's shir, and I said in the introductory remarks today's shir, Kashidis, that according to our Mishnah, it seems, there are four situations where you'll be chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrid for tumah. But according to Rebbe Kiva, we said you're only chayiv carbon oil of a yoyrid for two situations. When you forgot that you're tumah, but not when you didn't realize it's Kodesh or Migdash. So we couldn't have anyway, says the Gemara, explained the Mishnah like Rebbe Kiva. Answers Gemara, that question we can answer. Just like we answered the question of Yediyas HaTumah, that we said that the Mishnah is not speaking about Karbim Oil V'Yoyrit. Lav Amrit, just like we were able to defend and explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Yishmolhi, and the Mishnah is not speaking about Karbim Oil V'Yoyrit, but rather the Mishnah is speaking about Malchus, we'll say regarding, just like we defended it regarding Shavuos for Rabbi Shmuel, we'll say the same thing regarding Yediyas HaTumah, we'll say Rabbi Kiva Nami LaMalchus. We'll say that the Mishnah is speaking about Malchus for Yediyas HaTumah. And therefore, it could follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva will agree that you'll get Malchus in all four situations of Tumah. Ask the Gemara, so now we're explaining that our Mishnah is speaking about Bemezit. And the Mishnah is teaching us how many situations one could theoretically get Malchus. And Yediyas HaTumah, the Mishnah is saying, you can get Malchus in four situations. Where you're Tumah and you forgot your Tumah, and you ate Kodesh or you went into the base of Mikdash. And the other case is, where you know you're Tumah, but you don't know that this is Kodesh, or you don't realize you're walking into a place that's Mikdash. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means, then the wording of Yediyas is a difficult wording. Yach Yediyos, it's not the Yediyah that makes you Chayiv Malchus, it's that Hasras Miboilei, that you were warned what you're doing is an Aveir for what you're getting Malchus. So the wording of the Mishnah is incorrect. Answers the Gemara, that question is not such a big question. Holy Kasha, Tani Yediyah da Hasras. The way the Mefarshim explained is that that's what the Mishnah means with the word Yediyos. That he was given, in all four of these circumstances, the proper warning that what he's doing is a Chayiv Malchus. Ask the Gemara, but then there's another question. Yach Yishtayim Shen Arba, Tatnahu Dahavim. We've been discussing four cases, quickly to review. You forgot your Tumah, and therefore you ate Kodesh, or you went into the base of Mikdash. Or you forgot, you remember your Tumah, and therefore you went into the base, but you went into the base of Mikdash, you ate Kodesh. Those four cases work if we're talking about Shayik. But if we're talking about Mezid, it means you have to have all the circumstances. You have to know your Tumah, and still you eat Kodesh. You have to know your Tumah, and you still walk into the base of Mikdash. So the Mishnah speaks about four cases, but there are really only two that are amazing. One problem. Furthermore, the Mishnah speaks about, and we're going to explain it as we get deeper into the Sechta, the Mishnah speaks about Shiesh B'Yediyah B'Tchila, B'Yediyah B'Saif, you were aware at the beginning and the end, for Helen B'Natayim. But in the middle you forgot. Ask the Gemara, if we're speaking about Mezid, Haloma L'Malkas Mayavidite. What kind of Haloma? It's amazing. There is nothing that you forgot. You did it deliberately. And thirdly, ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says explicitly, V'su ha-reiz of oil of a yoyrid. If we're saying that our Mishnah is not talking about Kabbonis oil of a yoyrid, but our Mishnah is talking about Malchus, what's what Mishnah bringing in oil of a yoyrid? So says the Gemara, and as I said earlier, this is common in Shas. We could be working with one pshat in the Mishnah. Till now we've been trying to explain almost for over a blot of Gemara that our Mishnah is referring to a case of Malkus, of Mezid, this approach is not defendable, and therefore the Gemara takes a different approach. Rebihi. The Mishnah was written, Elam Rabbi Yosef Rebihi. Rebbe was the author of our Mishnah. V'nosav liba d'tanoi. And he doesn't necessarily have to follow the opinion of one Tana. And therefore, b'yedios, when it comes to Hilchas Tumah, he follows the opinion of Yishmael. That Yechayev, Karbon Oil v'yorid, both in the case where you forgot your Tomei, and in the case that you forgot that this is Kodesh or Migdash. B'shvuas, when it comes to Hilchas Shvuas, Nosla Rabbi Akiva, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, where Yechayev Shvuah, both for Shvuah in the future and the past. In other words, he picked and chose who to follow. Amr of Ashi, Amrita Lishmatz Kamedra of Kahana, V'amrali Loitem Rebbe Nosav Le'eli B'tanei, V'le'eli Sfirulei. Rav Ashi says, don't say that what Rabbi Yosef necessarily means. The Rebbe was reporting opinions, but wasn't taking his own position. Rather, the way to understand our mission is much deeper. Rebbe Nosav Le'eli B'tanei, El Rebbe Tam Denavshi Mefarish. Rebbe had the right to choose whose opinion he's following. So in the case of Yediyas HaTumah, he followed the opinion of Yishmael. In the case of Shavuos, he followed the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. El Rebbe Tam Denavshi Mefarish. Rebbe was following that opinion himself. It wasn't as he was recording somebody else's opinion. And the Pnei Yeshua says, what's the nafkamina between these two approaches, between Rav Kahana's approach and Rabbi Yosef's approach, if it's Rebbe's reporting his own opinion or he's just quoting somebody else's opinion. He says it's very relevant. Because we've been discussing in our shiurim, what's the din if you have a stam v'achkach machloikas, or it's not a stam v'achkach machloikas. So if Rebbe is reporting his own opinion in our Mishnah, it'll be a stam Mishnah. If we'll then have a Mishnah where these Tanoim argue, but Rebbe doesn't take a position, we'll have a Stam Mishnah. And as we learned previously, we always follow the opinion of a Stam Mishnah. If, on the other hand, that's what we follow Rav Kahana's approach, says the Pnei Yeshua. But if we follow Rav Yosef's approach, the Rebbe in the first Mishnah is just quoting either Rav Akiva or Rav Yishmael's opinion. And then we'll find later in the Mishnah that Rav Akiva or Rav Yishmael are challenged by the people who dispute them. Then it'll be a Stam V'achkach Machlokes that we won't be able to follow our first Mishnah. So it's very relevant how to understand what is Rebbe doing in our Mishnah. Is he just reporting somebody else's opinion, or is he quoting his own opinion, the decision he took? But ask the Gemara. What makes us say that Rebbe personally follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel? Ella, Tam de Nafshe Mefarish. The Tanya, how do we notice? The Brisa says, "Menayin she'el she'en chayiv ela she'yesh b'yediyah v'tchil v'yediyah b'soif." How do we know you only chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrid? That if the person was first aware that he was tamei, then he forgot he's tamei, and then afterwards he realizes that he's tamei, that's when you chayiv carbon oil of a yoyrid. And there was a helam b'min atayim talmud loyim, because the Torah says regarding the parasha of tuma, v'nelam v'nelam shnei pamim divrei Rabbi Akiva. And that's why Rabbi Akiva teaches us that Yechayiv, when there was a Yediyah B'tchila, you know you were Tamei, then you forgot you were Tamei, and then you realized you were Tamei, and during that time of Haloma, you either ate Kodesh or went into the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe disagrees. Enu Tzarech. Hareyu Oimer. The Torah says, Menelam. So Rebbe says, if we take the word Menelam for itself, what does the word Menelam mean? Mechlal D'yada. You can't forget something if you never knew it. So even without the word Nelam teaching us, Nelam being mentioned twice, we would understand that you have to have Shtei Yediyas to be Chayiv. So M. Cain asked the Gemara, asks Rebbe, why does the Torah use the word Nelam a second time? M. Cain, Mat Tamaloyim of Nelam, why does the Torah use the word Nelam a second time? To teach us, L'Chayiv Alahelam Tum V'Hal Megdash. To teach us that not only in a case where you forgot that your Tomei, are you chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrid? But even in a case where you didn't forget your Tomei, but you didn't realize that what you're eating is kodesh, you didn't realize where you're going in is a base of migdosh, you're going to be chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrid. So we see here, the Rebbe's opinion regarding Yediyas HaTumah is not like Rabbi Akiva. That's why, says Rav Kahana, the Rebbe in our Mishnah was quoting his own opinion, which is not like Rabbi Akiva's, and he's holding that you don't only get a carbon oil of a yoyrid, chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid, on helam tumah, They also chayiv carbon oil of yoyrid by helam migdash for helam kaidish. Rebbe was quoting his own opinion. Says the Gemara, fine. We've understood the Mishnah. Let's stop for a second. We've understood the Mishnah that the case of yediyas atuma, Rebbe doesn't agree with Rebbe Kiva. And when he quotes the Mishnah, when he states a position in the Mishnah that chayiv in all cases of carbon oil of yoyrid, it's reflecting his own opinion. Now let's go to the other case, the case of shuls. Where again, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, the only chayv carbon oil v'yared regarding shvuos into the future. Lahara o lahetiv. The pasuk speaks about the future. Now, Rabbi in the Mishnah didn't take that opinion. Didn't take that position. Rabbi in the Mishnah took the position that you chayv a carbon even for the past. That you made a shvuah, that you ate or you didn't eat, and it was a false shvuah. Where do we see that Rabbi takes that opinion? Ashkam v'yadis, this lay tam v'denavshei. We see by Yedis that this is Rebbe's opinion. The Braisa quoted it black and white. Shvuas, the Leslie Tamanavshay. Shvuas that you can't quote a Braisa that clearly indicates showing that Rebbe holds that Yechayev a carbon oil of Yorid in all four circumstances. Where do I know that Rebbe Taka holds that way? Menolon, says the Gemara, Svarahu. Says the Gemara, what is the Svarah? So before we say the Svarah, we have to give a word of introduction. There's a type of pasuk in the Torah that we can have two very different perspectives. One is a perspective called klal prata klal, and one is a perspective called ribui miyit ribui. The exact same pasuk, but can be looked at very differently. What does that mean? We know, those of us that say the brayser of Yishmael every morning, know that it says the klal prat, iat adon kelein prat. A klal of prat teaches us that the prat, the specific that comes after the klal, defines the klal. And it completely limits it. If you then have a klal, so we say it can expand it a little. But the klal still is the definition of the rule. Ribui miyit ribui is a very different perspective. Ribui miyit ribui is a perspective that the ribui really defines the rule. Just the Torah says a miyut, which comes to sort of limited. And then if you have another ribui, that mir is even more diminished. Now, there's a machlaikis how to learn, a pasuk that we've discussed many times from the beginning of Sefta, of l'chol shivata adam, l'hora l'hetev as shivata adam. That is a pasuk that can be looked at as a klal prata klal. It can be looked at as a ribui miyit ribui. If it's looked at as a klal prata klal, so what is the prat? Lahara lahetiv. And the Lahara lahetiv teaches us that you only chayiv a carbon oil of a yorid, Lahara lahetiv. That's Rabbi Shmuel's perspective. Rabbi Kiva's perspective, on the other hand, is to look at it like a ribui miyit ribui. And Lahara lahetiv is not to be understood that it's defining the entire chayiv a carbon oil of a yorid. And therefore, it's not specifically where it's Lahara lahetiv. It's not specifically where it's the future that you chayiv, even chayiv for the past. Rabbi Maitam, so now Gemara goes into it. Rabbi Maitam kamachayiv l'shaver. Why does Rabbi Kiva of the opinion that you chayiv by shvua, not just for the future, but even for the past? Because he prefers to learn what a ribi meet ribi. Says the Gemara, Rabbi nami darsh ribi meet. Says the Gemara, Rabbi is of the opinion, again, as I said earlier, whenever faced with such a pasuk, should I learn as a ribi meet ribi, as Rabbi Kiva is learning this pasuk? Or should I learn as a klal prat, the klal is Rabbi Shmuel? Says the Mar, Rebbe's opinion that we go with the Rebbe Meet Rebbe approach. Says the Mar, from where do we see it? So the Mar brings a different subject altogether. We know that if somebody has a Bechor, he has to be redeemed as Bechor. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Bechor, Bechor, Poyden, Bechor, Adam, anything can be used for opinion ben, chutz min ashtaris, except for documents. Rabban and Omri, the Rabban disagree, and they have the opinion, b'chol poedim b'chol adam, they have a much broader limitation. Chutz me'avodim v'shtar shakakos. You can't use slaves, or documents, or real estate. Says, well, what's the machlok between Rebbe and the Rabbanon all about? My time of the Rebbe, because Rebbe learns the Rebbe Meir. The pasuk says, uveduyah b'menchadosh, any child, riba, anything can be used. Be'erkecho kesev chamesh shkolim, Meir. Tifta, Chaz of a riba. Riba miyit, riba. So Rebbe looks at this pasuk as a ribi miyit ribi situation, and riba ekal. my Rebbe, what is the Torah being marba that you could use for pidyon haben? Komili. On my miyut, and the limitation is extremely limited, it's only mamad shtaris. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rabbanan, says the Gemara, learned with a different approach. Rabbanan dashi klal aprat. And they learn as follows. Ufaduyim ben chaydish is a klal. Be'erkach ha-kesef chamesh iskolim, prat. Tifta is a chaz of a klal. And they are of the opinion, whenever having such a pasuk, we learn it in the type of limud called klal uprat the klal. What halach is, iyat don elkeina prat. Ma prat meforsh dova metatl, something that's actually movable, the gufa moment, and it itself has intrinsic value. Af kol dova metatl the gufa moment. Anything that is movable and is intrinsically moment, yotzik akos, so you couldn't use real estate to do a pidyon haben, because real estate obviously ain't a metatlin. Yotzik avodim, shoka like akos, you can't use avodim, because avodim are compared to karka, and therefore, just like we just eliminated karka according to Rabbanan, so too will avodim be eliminated. Yotzik shtoris, abish metatlin, they are obviously movable documents, and gufa moment. So here, explains the Gemara. We had an opportunity to learn it like a ribi meet ribui. We had an opportunity to learn it like klal prat to klal. What did Rebbe choose? Rebbe chose to learn like a ribi meet ribui. So that's a raya the Gemara wants to suggest, that that is Rebbe's approach in all areas of halacha. Also in the area of shvuah. And if we're going to apply that type of lima to shvuah, the result will be that not only are you chayiv a carbon oil of yoyud for a shvuah into the future, you also chayiv a carbon oil of yoyud for a shvuah into the past. That's why we have a raya that Rebbe follows the opinion of Akiva in that subject, and that's why he says Rav Kahana, that's why Rebbe stated that position in the Mishnah, because it reflects his own opinion. A number of interesting points. Here the Gemara is saying, Avodim Hikshul Kakos. So I saw that Rav Leib Malin has a question. How do we understand what the Mishnah says, Avodim Hikshul Kakos? There's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the Torah says that physically, characteristically, karak and avodim travel together. Or, it's not that they're the same, because it's hard to say that they're the same. This is real estate, this is the evid, how do you put them together? What the Torah means, possibly, is that they should have the same halacha, but not that they're physically the same. What would be the nafkamina? He says, what would be the halacha if the Rabbanon instituted a rule that affects karka? If we take the first side, that avodim and karka are considered the same characteristically, so even by the Rabbanans, the same din will apply. If, however, we say it's only that the Torah says that they should be treated halachically the same, but we can't call them identical, so that could be maybe only by the Raisis, but not by the Rabbanans, and rules that Rabbanan will apply to karka will not automatically apply to avodim. The Mara also said that shtaris cannot be used to for opinion of it. So Mepharshim discuss, what is the definition of a shtar that makes it unacceptable for opinion of ben? Some say that the definition of a shtar is that you can't use the shtar to buy something. You have to redeem the shtar and get cash for it, and then buy with it. Others say that a shtar is usually only a raya. That means, I borrow money from you, so how do you have proof that I owe you the money? The shtar. The shtar shows that I owe you the money, and therefore, since it doesn't have any intrinsic value, its value is only there to be a proof that I owe you the money. And in fact, some sofer asks an interesting question. If that's what a shtar is all about, so it does have value, the paper has value. So let's say you wrote it on an expensive piece of paper, why couldn't be able to use it? Some sofer says a nice teretz. He says, because nobody's going to want to use that paper for money, because you need the paper to have the shtar on it. That's why shtar is not a valid shtar. What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, let's say you have a banknote, or a government bond. Let's say you have a bond. So the question is, can you use a bond for pidyon haben? Again, we're makbid l'chatchila to use, we're going to get to it, to use the chomesh shlam, to use five silver coins. But we're talking about l'halacha. If we say that the issue is that that the problem with a shtar is that it doesn't have intrinsic value. It's only a raya that I owe you money. A bond isn't a raya. A bond has intrinsic value. But if the issue is that it has to be traded in to get money for it. A bond is not money. A bond is not cash. It has value, and everybody will honor it, perhaps, and especially if it's a strong government standing behind it. But that doesn't still make it into the category of kesef. It still will remain a shtar. Which leads to another question that the Achroyim discussed. Could you use a check? Could you pay the kohen with a check? And the question is, how does the halacha look at a check? If a check is looked at as a raya, that I owe you the money, that wouldn't be used. But most explain that a check is not just a document that proves that I owe you money. Check is in the place of cash. Just instead of having to walk around with cash, you could walk around with a checkbook. So it could be that a checkbook indeed could be used, a check could be used, maybe even a credit card could be used, lahalocha for pinyon abed.